If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Great to be here with you guys. Took 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. Always feels good when you can go into a hostile environment like Fenway Park. Looked beautiful, by the way.
Fenway Park.
It looked beautiful. I've had a little FOMO, I'm not going to lie. I saw a lot of Padre fans made
tons
the trip.
Tons of Padres fans
I've been getting it bad this year, man, for sure. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. I mean, even, like, I'm not a big Blink-182 fan since one of their guys said they were going to come on with us and then didn't, and it bummed me out. I like people of their word. You know, we promoted it and made us look like idiots when they bailed the next day. But even last night, they played Petco Park, and it looked amazing. And I like 4 or 5 songs, whatever. But I saw it last night. I went, God dang, I'm missing out on this.
You know, the Fenway Park and Petco Park are extremely different.
Yes.
But they share that connection that was, of course, highlighted this weekend, and that is Larry Lucchino.
100%.
Who was the driving force behind the construction of Petco Park. I mean, the personal sheer will and effort, community, you know, meetings that he took to try to make Petco Park happen above and beyond, and then went to Boston and basically did the same thing, the renovation of the Green Monster, the seats on top.
They were talking about Maybe the best idea ever.
Yeah,
put seats up there. Best idea in history.
People were like against it for a while. You can't tarnish a cathedral of baseball.
It
was a great idea.
Can you imagine sitting up there? What better seat on the planet? I've had some good ass seats before. Nothing like that.
I can't wait to have Jesse Agler on the show tomorrow. As much of a baseball
nerd
that man is, following his Instagram stories all weekend.
Man.
He was taking you on little tours. I just was like, I'm so happy that he gets to finally call a game at Fenway Park. Can't wait to hear about it. I loved the pictures that the Padres posted of all the guys signing the inside of the Green Monster.
Pretty sick, man.
Like, that's a tradition.
Yep.
Your first time at Fenway Park, you go in, and it's everybody's first time at Fenway Park on this roster,
It's now being renamed to Jackson Merrill Park because he is the owner of Fenway right now. What a monster series he had in Fenway. But no, I had that feeling of like, dude, why aren't we going on some of these trips? It really bums me out.
Hey.
Well, we don't have disposable income. I've got a family as well I have to take care of and be home for. But I really was looking going, ah! We've been saying this for years.
All right, 2025. We'll go to
2025. We got to go to, I don't even care if it's Boston. We got to go somewhere. Chicago, Wrigley, something. We got to do something as this show. You know, how much longer, you don't know how much longer we'll be together or, you know, even alive. You have no idea. Life is short. We got to YOLO it up a little bit more next year. Because I'm sitting here watching going, well, this looks like a great time. Everyone's eating the local fare and, you know, walking around and having a ball. We'd have a blast. There. It's a shame our company won't pay our way to go to do our job. It really just is a very, I mean, you love content so much. We will give you content. Here's the interesting part. If we pay our own way, they're going to want content. I'm going to be like, you're not getting any. Hey, can you do a video from outside Wrigley? No. I'm on vacation. I paid for this. You want to reimburse me? I'm in. I just, as much as we love baseball, as much as we love the Padres, like, I'm like, we need to pick a thing and go every single year somewhere. Pittsburgh would be an incredible.
Oh, I'd like to see PNC.
Yes,
I've never been to Pittsburgh.
We can get that sandwich everybody raves about.
Bramante Brothers with the fries.
Like, Pittsburgh. There's a handful of stadiums like Pittsburgh,
Philly,
Kauffman. No. Cities that, unless it's there for work, like a baseball centric trip,
right?
I probably won't ever be there. Like, I don't ever see myself just in Pittsburgh.
Going to Pittsburgh.
I would have to be going to watch a baseball game. I don't ever see myself just in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'd have to be going to watch a baseball game.
Of course.
I can see myself in Chicago, New York, Boston.
Yeah, and Washington, the game there is kind of an afterthought in one of those big cities, right? I mean, I took Bo to Chicago last year. I looked at the schedule, and I went, ah, crap, Cubs aren't there. Bummer. But there was still so much more to do.
All right, I got the trip. We should have done it this year when we knew the manager. Miami.
I tried. We talked about it. Nothing ever materialized.
Miami Vice Higgins over here.
Yeah. Can you imagine him?
Get my pastel.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Ben out in Miami Beach. It's expensive, though. I mean, it's expensive.
That's the trip.
The drinks out in South Beach are expensive.
Here, too.
That's true. That's
we,
true.
We live here every day, and it's expensive.
It's also true. Yeah, I'd like to get out there, man. Yeah, somebody said Klug is listening right now, counting the expense report in his head. Yeah, tons of money lying around. Well, I mean, again, we're going to do it next year, whether you want content out of it or not.
Well, that's keep in mind also, you know, the baseball schedule, the 2025 schedule, usually comes out, I think, like August. So
yeah, pretty
we
soon.
Should
right.
know.
Let's plan something.
In about
love
a month
of God.
And have an idea of, you know, time of the year and what looks appealing on the Padres
what international
schedule for
triple
next year.
The Padres be going on next year.
Yeah, even those. Like, I didn't. Yeah, you know, the Mexico City one would have been a lot of fun. The Korea one, I thought, is just going to be too. It's just too long.
Padres opening the season in Oslo, Norway next year.
We're in.
Why? What?
They'll do it in some really weird spot, and I'll be like, "Fine, I'll send you guys." Like, never mind. We don't want to. We don't want to go. No, we got to make some of those trips happen next year, even if it's on our own dime, because it's just it looks so much fun, man. And the weather that the people got. If you went Friday and Saturday, you were like, "I've landed in paradise," you know, for the weather they had at Fenway. Now, yesterday, not a game that I would have sat through. I would have told you both at the hotel, "Go ahead, I'm going to be watching in the hotel room."
Hot and sticky is
and
not
pouring
my jam,
rain.
You know?
Yeah, pouring rain.
That's
Pass.
Why you got to pick the right time of year as well.
We still have a couple more road trips this year. I mean, it's not too late. Pittsburgh and Miami, both at the beginning of August.
Just, I don't. There's not enough time to plan.
Oh, there's enough time. You just don't have the will to do so.
Well, fine.
I'm not saying I do. I just
I got to run it by the missus too. Yeah, it's a whole big. A it's a whole big thing.
Permissions required.
Yes, lots of permission slips.
Let's see. Did anyone catch me anchoring the news last night? Filling
you know,
in on Channel 10 and the 6 and the 11 o'clock.
So I was in my office working at 5 o'clock, and I thought you were on at 5, and so I put on Channel 10 at 5,
six.
And it was not it. So I did not.
That was it. You gave one chance, and then you were done.
I gave it one shot. And then
it was a slow news day. There wasn't a ton going on. Couple of fires in Northern California. Our lead story was the fact that new laws go into effect on July 1st, including this one was kind of interesting. Did you know that at most or certain bars and clubs now, they're required to provide tests for your drink to see if it's been like spiked
good
with like roofies, rohypnol, yep, or ketamine. So there's like strips or straws that you like just put in and then look
on,
and see if it like
tell
changes.
Me, I need to hear this in Ben Anchor News voice.
I did it last night in Anchor News voice, but it's required from the state of California, a new law that goes into effect today that certain Class 48 establishments with a liquor license must provide to their customers the ability to test their drinks for foreign substances that have been added to prevent, you know, rising sexual assaults that occur in those establishments.
I think it's absolutely a great idea.
Yeah. Some places were providing them for free. Others, they can charge a fee for them, but they have to have them at least at the bar or available to customers. That's one of the laws that went into effect. Of course, I think our gas taxes are going up slightly again as well.
Very cool.
Here at the start of July. So California, awesome, going to pay more in gas taxes. That was another law that they are talking about. But it was a quiet news day for the most part.
Adam says in the chat, anyone remember when Stephen Woods talked about the show going to Texas for the All-Star game but didn't actually want to go? I do. I don't recall that at all. And then Hannah said, I do, Adam. He's the boy that cried road trip. I guess when the feet are actually held to the fire, I'm like, I'm good.
Once you realize it's going to require a trip to the airport and waiting in a security line.
Packing and everything else. Everything.
You just want to be there. You want to snap your fingers.
Yeah.
You want to be at the Padres road game, and then snap your fingers and be back in your bed that night.
It's true. It's true. Mm. We are going to San Francisco as a family in September for Hannah's birthday, and we're going to check out a game. I think it's Padres-Giants at Oracle. So that'll be fun. I'm going to that ballpark. We love San Francisco, taking the kids to Alcatraz, doing the whole bit. So very excited about that. But as a show, I'd like us to get away and go do something.
Yeah, I mean, we have our fantasy, our spring fantasy baseball every year that we go.
Fantasy camp.
Fantasy camp,
yes.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, we do that.
But it's just kind of a getaway for the show.
That's a getaway.
But you want like an in-season getaway.
An in-season getaway where the boys are playing somewhere and we get to go watch them, you know? Be good.
How about a playoff trip?
That'd be
in October.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that.
Can't plan those in advance.
Too nervous, man. Be amazing, though. All right, yeah, we'll do that.
But that would be ideal.
Okay. Deal.
Padres are certainly on pace to get there at this point, a little over halfway through the season. Currently, three games behind the Braves, who are the first wild card team in the National League, half game ahead of the Cardinals, who are in the third slot. Mets are in fourth, and still that, you know, big grouping of teams in the National League that are all still, for the most part, in it. You know, got the Giants, Diamondbacks, Pirates, Nationals, Cubs. You know, some teams have struggled a little bit, but no one's so far back that they can't envision a, you know, 5-6 game winning streak that gets them right back into the thick of things. So don't know if we are going to have a lot of movement yet. It is trade deadline month. July is here. By the end of the month, you're going to have your final moves in place and have your roster set for the rest of the season. So, you know, those talks are just going to heat up over the coming weeks, but still not many more sellers. I saw the Blue Jays are finally saying, all right, we're going to put a few guys on the market.
Bro, and the guys.
Not that, happening for us this year.
The guys that they were throwing on the market, there's definitely some interesting names in Kikuchi. And then there's Yimi Garcia out of their bullpen is pretty nasty, too. I'm sure AJ has made some calls to Canada here recently.
I would think so.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
They have a couple of pretty good fits there.
You know, with Tatis's injury, still the outfield remains. You know, Xander Bogaerts could be back before the All-Star break. He is getting a CT scan today. If all goes well, he could start a rehab assignment in the next couple of days.
Where the hell does he play?
But the problem is yeah, he's not an outfielder. What they really need is another outfielder at this point, not knowing how long Tatis is going to be out, not really having any solid backups. I mean, Bryce Johnson has started every single day since he's been here. He's not an everyday starter.
He's not, and David Peralta's not either, and Eggy Rosario's not either.
Big leaguer at this point.
Right.
And he's starting every single day.
I know, man.
It's a glaring hole right now for the San Diego Padres.
No, and if it wasn't for Kyle Higashioka having this monster June, Ben, I mean, think about what the bottom of that lineup looks like right now with Bryce Johnson in there every single day, man. It's rough. So, yeah, David Peralta's not a guy you can run out there five games a week starting in right field. Yeah, they got to do something. They got to do something. And a lot of people are talking about Tirso Ornelas getting potentially a call up pretty soon, playing pretty well. Okay, like let's see it. I'd rather see a guy that has some potential with some pop than no offense to Bryce Johnson, but you know, we have plenty of guys on this team can bunt. You know, we're pretty adept at bunting. Tyler Wade lives here, and you know, Ha-Sung Kim now lives here as Lord Sacrifice.
I'm surprised that Wade hasn't gotten a start or two in the outfield.
Me too.
In the last week, just knowing what Mike Shildt generally says about him and thinks about him.
Yeah.
But he's been, I guess, when you're winning, you don't stir things too much. Maybe now that they lost yesterday, you can think about giving Bryce Johnson a day off and trying something else. But
Brandon says, can Crony play outfield? I feel like he's athletic enough. I've been saying this for 5 years, that he is like, put him at the time, it was put him in left field and let him go.
So Bogaerts at second.
Yep.
And then move Crony to the outfield.
I think he could do it in a second. I just feel like he'd be great at it. I really do. I've always felt that.
Isn't that kind of the point of having a roster full of shortstops is that they're athletic enough to play anywhere?
It is, but it's also the problem of having a roster full of shortstops. They can't, you know, it's a learning curve to play anywhere else unless you're Jackson Merrill. But, I think Crony could do it in a heartbeat.
I would say it's Satan's very difficult to make that transition without, you know, full offseason to work on and a full spring training. Jackson Merrill is making the conventional wisdom of that feel a little foolish in how quickly he adapted to center field and how absolutely serviceable or beyond serviceable he's even been defensively. But to ask someone to just move out there without a single day of spring training
in the
middle
of the season
is a lot.
I know, man.
It's a lot.
I know.
But that's where they have plenty of infielders and not enough outfielders right now.
Well, Eddie Rosario was just DFA'd, I think, this morning by the Nationals, so they're going to be looking to move him. Maybe he's an option. I don't know. I mean, I think everything's on the table right now for the San Diego Padres. You do have some holes to fill, and excuse me. I think it's important that they get done soon. I mean, you got a tough stretch coming up in July. I know you get days off and all that, but you still got to win those games, man. As fresh as you are,
I'm assuming that Rosario move was to clear a 40-man roster spot for James Wood.
That's exactly right.
Who is being promoted today? Former Padres prospect, part of course the Juan Soto trade.
He's been a
monster.
Will
make his major league debut for the Washington Nationals in just one of three games today.
Yep.
In a light schedule in Major League Baseball, so there'll be a lot of eyes on James Wood as he takes the field for the first time.
Going up against the Mets, I do believe. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, good for him, man. Good for him. Excited about it.
Look forward to him hitting a home run at some point this week and everyone
losing
rehashing that conversation.
It's already been rehashed.
I've seen a lot.
It's already,
who won the trade? Already, lost the trade.
It's already been rehashed ad nauseum. Nothing you can do about it.
There's no doubt that Washington, knowing they were going to lose Juan Soto and knowing they weren't going to win anything with him over that last season, two and a half seasons,
yeah,
made a very smart move
of
to
course
trade him.
They got a good
return on
yep
that trade.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that. Does that mean the Padres made a bad trade? Not necessarily.
Nope.
Not necessarily. But it was definitely a good trade for the Washington Nationals.
Yep.
I think we can be comfortable making that judgment now, almost two years after the fact.
Indeed.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've got Sam Levitt joining us, in-season Sammy. Rindle Report is ahead as well. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No Padres baseball tonight. Day off on the road in Texas.
Guess I'm watching a Nickelback documentary instead.
Well, that's what you committed to. But may I interest you in Copa America soccer, United States versus Uruguay.
What time's that game?
Tonight. I think it's around 6.
All right. I could probably do first half of that and then get some Nickelback in.
Yeah, from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. And pretty much must win. I mean, I think there is a scenario in which the U.S. could lose and still advance, but it basically, they are playing at the same time as Panama, the team they lost to in their last match.
Okay.
They have to match Panama's result. Panama is playing Bolivia, the last place team in the pool, in the group. The U.S. is playing Uruguay, the first place team in the group. So a tougher matchup.
Right.
Same time. So if Panama ties, if the U.S. ties, that's good enough. They will advance into the knockout round. Panama wins, though. U.S. needs to win, and they need to maintain their goal differential advantage, which is currently +2 over Panama. So they'd have to win and not like Panama. If Panama won like 5-0, the U.S. would have to win at least 4-0.
4-0.
To move on.
Oh,
so that would
God
be very difficult. But if Panama loses, you could theoretically lose a close one and still advance
get
based
in
on goal differential, but I wouldn't count on that tonight.
And that those games are running concurrently.
So you don't know what's going on necessarily in the other game. You'll get reports as
scoreboard
it's going
watching,
a little
yeah
scoreboard watching as well. All so right, that's the soccer story. Mexico was already eliminated last night. They had their control of their own destiny against Ecuador, but were unable to score a goal in a 0-0 draw that sent Ecuador into the knockout round of Copa America. So we'll see if the U.S. can last more than one day longer than Mexico. Be an embarrassing early exit if the U.S. does lose, but, you know.
Another
one. Right. Yes. An international soccer play.
Team of the future every year.
Yeah. I mean, supposedly the best group of, like, young talent they've ever had, but it's soccer. You get really, what, two chances every 4 years
right
to show it off in really major international competition? And if you ultimately disappoint, then you wasted it. You just wasted the last 2 years. Now you decide whether you want to keep your coach or fire your coach ahead of the next 2 years, which is the build-up to the World Cup
okay
that will take place in North America, including the United States, in 2026.
And World Cup is in 26.
26, yeah. U.S., Canada, Mexico, the tri-hosts of a North American World Cup that's 2 years away. And if the U.S. loses today, there will be a lot of panic and consternation about whether they're on the wrong path ahead of a very important, you know, when you host, you're really expected to make a deep run in a World Cup.
All right, I'll check it out tonight. So that's, we had it on the other night. I saw the red card and saw the brutal hit on the goalkeeper. And, yeah, I'll throw it on tonight. Yeah, so, like you said, there's nothing else for me to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty quiet night otherwise. I doubt, only three games in Major League Baseball.
I doubt I'm going to be, you know, on James Wood watch. I'm not going to do wood watching.
No watching of the wood.
No watching of wood.
Woods watches wood.
Woods watches wood tonight. Maybe. But, you know, I did place a wager on him to hit a home run tonight because the odds were tremendous. So that'd be good. So I'll be rooting for that one. But I don't think he's going to be like appointment viewing, right? They're not going to stop down every time he takes an AB.
I don't think so.
They might on MLB Network if they're not playing, you know, Little Big League or something. I tune in.
Sandlot.
Hey, there's these huge games going on over the weekend. I'm like, see what MLB's doing right now. I'm like, oh, Field of Dreams again. Like, you can't get one game something. Like, there's, just give us something. And no, you're right. It was Field of Dreams again for like the 40th time.
You know, we're
what
running,
if we just dumped into Field of Dreams every time we were out of material?
We're running ads, I hear, for a live performance of Field of Dreams at the Rady Shell later this month. That would be something I would actually go to, where they play the movie, but an orchestra actually plays the music live, the Field of Dreams music, while they play the movie.
No.
You wouldn't do that? The kids wouldn't like that?
No.
We used to do that a couple of times. We took the kids to the, before the Shell was built, we still had the venue out there.
My kids are into Hawk Tour right now. Mm-hmm. They're not really into orchestras and things. They are both running around the house incessantly.
But they like movies. Field of Dreams?
Yeah. Bo likes Field of Dreams.
Well, there you go.
I've started to use... Dad, what does Hawk Tua mean?
Hawk Tua. Spit on that thing.
I've started to use it in a baseball context. If you see a pitch, Bo, that you don't like, you just...
Hawk Tua.
Spit on it.
Spit on that thing. Oh,
spit on that thing.
Change up. Change up down and away.
Hawk Tua.
On a 2-1 count.
Hawk Tua. Spit on that thing.
That's it. So that's how I've started to use it in my home. It's a baseball term.
Don't swing at the pitcher's pitch.
Swing at your pitch.
Swing at your pitch.
Yeah, one in
spit
your...
Spit on the other one.
Spit on it. Spit on that.
Plus, there's two strikes. Then you got to protect.
Yeah.
Hawk Tua.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been using it for. I think it fits.
It does, actually.
It does, yeah. Hey, you see one you don't like.
Hawk Tua. Spit on that thing.
Perfect. Perfect. Great context.
Less
maybe she's a baseball
racy
fan.
Undertones.
Yeah,
100%.
I don't want them at school running around saying it, but you know,
it's always a worry at your house.
My house, yeah, it is.
What
did
they say at school? What do you not say at school?
That's exactly right.
All right, Sammy Levitt's going to join us in season. Sammy, when we come back, don't go anywhere. It's Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports, 97.3 The Fan. Well, that was a fun weekend. Would it have been nicer to end with a win and another sweep? Yes, but you can't have everything all the time. You can sometimes have sweeps, and the Padres have had a couple of them recently. But couldn't quite pull it off, yet they did take 2 of 3 in Boston to start their road trip. We got Sammy Levitt standing by. In-season Sammy's going to join us right after check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's talk to Sammy here. We got Sam Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. It's a Monday morning. Sammy, good morning to you. How was your weekend?
Good morning, guys. Good weekend. Pretty fun couple of games in Boston to begin the series, and everything was great in the studio, so a good weekend.
You had some FOMO, too, I bet. You know, I mean, I've been to Boston a few times, been to Fenway a couple times. Watching that series, the weather they had those first two games, Sammy, I was like, God dang, why didn't I make the trip up to Boston and go watch these guys just kick the hell out of the Red Sox for the first 2 days at least? I feel like we had a missed opportunity there, buddy.
Yeah, it would have been great. Would have loved to have been there. And, you know, from both the work perspective and just enjoying baseball, I've been to Fenway Park one time. It was not to see a Red Sox game, but it was actually for the Cape Cod Baseball League workout. They would do that every year for all the guys in the Cape Cod League when I worked there for two summers, and it's actually a really cool experience because there are scouts all over the Cape League all summer. And then around the Cape Cod League All-Star game, they bring each team in to do a workout where they have tons and tons of scouts sitting in the stands at Fenway. And it's a really cool opportunity for those guys, not just to, you know, work out in front of, you know, every scout you could imagine, but also get an experience of being on the field at Fenway. Back in the day, I think they actually played the All-Star game at Fenway, or maybe they do it again now. When I was there, they didn't do that. They only had the workout. But I remember the broadcast crew I was with at the time, and, you know, we were all in college and just really starting out. It was my friend Kevin, my friend Susie, my friend Matt, and we went up to the Green Monster. And I actually, this weekend, I looked at that photo that we have on top of the Green Monster, and it was pretty cool. So Boston, you know, I've been to Boston a lot growing up in New York, and you know, when I was in Cape Cod, I mean, I spent two summers there, so I know that area pretty well. And I would have loved to have been there. Maybe next time.
What was that terrible Cape Cod movie that they did?
Summer Catch.
Summer
with Freddie Prinze
Catch.
Jr. And
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel. Yeah, Jessica Biel and Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah. I will say this, and I've seen that movie. It's obviously not realistic, I would say.
Right.
But there were definitely aspects to it that were spot on. You know, when you think about, like, classic, you know, ball players showing up in the Cape Cod League and going around from field to field. I mean, I've said this to a lot of people. I think the Cape Cod League, not to get on too of a tangent on it, but I think the Cape Cod League is like a must-do baseball experience.
Yeah, I really
think that it is by far the best summer league in the country. You know, like, you don't have to pay to go to the games. People literally put their blankets and chairs down in the morning, and then they show up later and sit down, and like they're playing at middle school fields and high school fields, and there really is sort of a mystique to it, and just sort of a love of the game feel to it. And there's tons of scouts, and it everything's within an hour. You know, you just play one game and then that's it, and you play another game against another team the next night. It really is, I think, for a baseball fan, a must experience. I really do, because there is something really special about it, and they've had that collegiate league out there forever, you know, with some of the best players going back a long way, playing out there and getting their names out, you know, to go play with Wood Bats out there was originally kind of the real reason.
And
so
Jessica Biel's cool there, Ben, so it's a great reason to go to see Jessica Biel, right?
I mean, can you promise?
I can't promise
the
you
experience. I don't think you can. We got Sammy
potential.
Sammy Levitt with us, and Woods. I just have to say, Sammy does such a great job on the pre and the post game shows. Especially, he's so unflappable. I was listening on Friday night after the game to Sammy's post game show, and you know, it was a Friday, and it was Padres had won. It was a celebratory mood, and he took two or three straight calls in which the caller was less, let's just say, less than 100% sober. And you could tell.
Sober?
Well, you could tell when they wanted to talk about Kyle Higashioka.
Sorry. Good boy, evening.
But Sammy does such a good job. And
Higashioka. Amazing.
And I could just tell, and you know, got a couple of those in a row. But Sammy is a pro. He keeps it lively. He keeps it fun. He treats everyone with respect, no matter how many three or four cocktails in before they give him a call. And I realized we don't ever get that experience in the mornings.
No, that would be a problem.
That would be a problem.
That means you have a problem.
Generally, the people who call us are stone cold sober at, you know, between 6 and 10 a.m. when we do take phone calls. But you have a lot of late evening programs, Sammy. So you get some different clientele as part of your show.
Yeah, and it's all good. I mean, you know, people having a good time on a Friday night after a Padre win. I mean, you know, especially when the team is, I would say, at home. Very often I'm on the air still in the 10:30 to 11 p.m. hour, right, depending on how long the game goes. So I always say it on the post game, like, we appreciate you wherever you're listening from. If you're on the way to your Friday night plans, on the way home, maybe you're just going out. So we are always happy to hear from you no matter what you've done earlier in the night. What you're going to do, if you're going to party, that's fine. Yeah, it's all good. So it's all part of the fun, I think, of the post game life.
Sammy, injury updates from the San Diego Padres. We saw a couple of new ones this morning. It's kind of mixed bag right now for the team. They've got some good news and they've got some more I don't want to say concerning, but certainly news that gives you a little bit of pause right now.
Yeah, if you guys wouldn't mind updating me, was there something new that came out this morning before I hopped on?
I mean,
the good news is
Xander Bogaerts is on track.
CT scan.
Yeah, getting a CT scan today, and if it goes well, could start a rehab assignment. Luis Camposano rehab assignment in Lake Elsinore today. In The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, right, talking to doctors, and basically we're getting the sense that the optimistic timeline of Fernando Tatis Jr. returning maybe after the All-Star break is pretty darn optimistic, and that a more realistic view is this could be closer to a two-month type injury to fully return from a stress reaction, and that we really shouldn't expect to see Fernando back anytime this month if we're being honest with ourselves.
Yeah, and I see Dennis's piece. I got to read this once I get off, so I apologize for not being fully up to date on what Dennis wrote. But, you know, look, obviously with Xander, with the CT scan, we heard about that on Friday in Boston. So, you know, look, it sounded like if the results from that came back favorable, like he was not all that far away from maybe going out on a rehab assignment at some point. You know, look, without reading specifically what Dennis wrote this morning, you know, I'm not super surprised, you know, if Fernando's going to be out a while. I mean, it sort of sounded that way. Now, when the injury first happened, you know, it was sort of a murky timeline, right? I mean, I felt like there was really no timeline put on it, but then you heard what Fernando said in the clubhouse later that day, and I felt like you could just kind of feel it and see it, that this was going to be something that was long-term. I will say, I don't know if I expected, you know, 2 months or something like that, but look, the bottom line is this. They're going to have to continue to figure out how to stay afloat. And I think, you know, in an overall sense, you know, no matter how long Bogaerts takes to come back, or if Fernando's going to be out a really, really extended period of time, to me, what they need to avoid is just sort of, you know, sort of going down one of those real downward spirals, right, that we've seen. Okay, because I actually, before I came on with you guys, I wasn't reading Dennis's article, but I was just jotting down what they've done since May 26th, and it really, I think, says something, because they won 5 of 6, then they lost 5 in a row. Then they won 5 of 6, then they lost 5 in a row, and then they won 9 of 11 to finish the month of June. And I think it just makes the point of, you know, look, they are going to have to continue to win the way they've won through these injuries, and that's playing team baseball and getting contributions all over the place. But the one thing they just can't really afford to do, no matter how many off days they have, no matter some of the really good opponents they have coming up in July, one thing they just, you know, have to avoid is letting yesterday's loss turn into losing a bunch in a row.
Yeah,
because
four more.
We've seen that, right?
Right.
Like I yesterday, I kept thinking about that Sunday game in Kansas City. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but that was like a stretch where the Padres had played really well, not for as long as they have this time around, but somehow, some way, that sort of surprisingly went into losing 5 in a row and totally changing how you felt about what they were doing. So, you know, guys, I think maybe you're looking at a situation with this team where, look, if they end up playing at some sort of level like they've played the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that's awesome. But at bare minimum, you're just hoping they can stay afloat, stay right in the mix of that wild card race, and hopefully when they get these guys back are right there, and it's like you're getting trade deadline acquisitions, essentially. And again, I got to read what Dennis wrote this morning on Fernando, but I'm not super surprised just based on his reaction later that night when it came out that he was going on the IL, and this was not a little thing. This was something that was gonna take some time.
I don't think the message has changed really at all from us. You got to hang around. You know, that's it. Just hang around. And if you play 500 baseball through the month of July, which again, you're going to have a ton of off days, but the schedule is pretty difficult with some really difficult teams. You've played well against tough teams, so far this season. That can't change, certainly. And you do need to try to handle up on the teams that may be struggling a little bit. That would be a nice change of pace for the San Diego Padres. But really, at the end of the day, man, get through July. You should be able to get a little healthier with many, many off days in there, Sammy. But really, hang around. Hang around till the end of July. Reevaluate. I mean, I just don't think anything's changed. I love the 9 out of 10. Certainly, it's not something I'm expecting more of with more guys going down and more guys, you know, getting drilled in the arm with, you know, 100-mile-an-hour base hits up the middle. It just... You just have to hang around because the NL is really nothing to write home about. But don't be that team that just goes off the cliff that we've seen. We've seen that here in San Diego. So I understand why people are on edge about it a little bit. But, man, watching this team play, watching what they're capable of has been awesome. It's awesome. I hope that continues. And if you lose a few here and there, you just got to staunch the bleeding. You can't have those five gamers anymore. Those have killed us.
Right, right. Because I don't know, you know, it's a good point. Like, again, I just think they need to find a way to avoid losing streaks, right?
Yep.
To avoid the kind of stretches that we saw earlier this year. Now, look, that may be easier said than done because I think this team, especially in the last, you know, 10, 11 games, look, they've played great, and it's because they're getting contributions all over, whether it's Higgy, whether it's Jackson Merrill, whether it's, you know, just, you know, even the bullpen this weekend was really good.
Yep.
And I know they were dealing with big leads, but that was, I guess, somewhat encouraging that the bullpen was better. And obviously Manny heating up the way he has, that goes an enormously long way. But, yeah, when you zoom out and you look at the picture, like, yeah, I mean, Yu Darvish is out, and there's not a ton of information on when he's going to come back. Joe Musgrove, we know it's going to be at least a while for him. And then, you know, now the situation with Fernando maybe being lengthier than what you originally anticipated. And Xander is still, a ways away. It's going to be at least, I would imagine, a couple of weeks based on what the results are today of that scan. So, yeah, it's they're in a really interesting spot, guys, right? Like they are playing well, and they're more than staying afloat right now. And then you've got the trade deadline looming, and how do they add, and what do they want to add, and what would they be willing to trade? Like, and then in the context of this really wide open NL. So, it's an interesting spot. And, you know, look, you hope those guys, whether it's you or Joe or Fernando or Xander, yeah. I mean, you want those guys back as quick as humanly possible, but, you know, that help is obviously, just even on Xander's front, still appears to be a bit of a ways away.
Well, first up in July is a three-game series against the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers, who had lost six in a row before yesterday, and then they won yesterday. But one matchup, I mean, not that they're head-to-head, but the two rookies, Wyatt Langford, who has been playing really well, including a cycle yesterday,
amazing.
The first in baseball this season.
Incredible.
Yesterday against Jackson Merrill, who's probably at least in consideration for, you know, National League Player of the Week or even Player of the Month with the kind of month that he put together. Going to be some rookie people looking at rookies this week when the Padres take on the Rangers.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Wyatt Langford, he played better. He did not get off to a great start, you know, unlike Jackson Merrill, who kind of hit the ground running at the start of the year. But, you know, just on Merrill, man, I think we talked about him last week, but it just continues to be remarkably impressive. And the way this guy rises to the moment and to do what he did at Fenway and his mom sitting out in center field and he nearly hits a home run right into her lap in center. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable. And I actually, not that I'm not a betting guy, but I did want to go look up at one of the major sports books. Just like, what are the odds, right, for Merrill and Rookie of the Year right now? And I think when I looked over the weekend, he had the second best odds to win Rookie of the Year of the NL. And, you know, right now, I know Imanaga had been really, really good, and Yamamoto had been really, really, really good, you know, and now is injured. But, like, if you just want to look at him, Merrill, in scheme.
Well, that was a fun weekend. Would it have been nicer to end with a win and another sweep? Yes, but you can't have everything all the time. You can sometimes have sweeps, and the Padres have had a couple of them recently, but couldn't quite pull it off, yet they did take 2 of 3 in Boston to start their road trip. We got Sammy Levitt standing by. In-season Sammy's going to join us right after check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's talk to Sammy here. We got Sam Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. It's a Monday morning. Sammy, good morning to you. How was your weekend?
Good morning, guys. Good weekend. A pretty fun couple of games in Boston to begin the series, and everything was great in the studio, so a good weekend.
You had some FOMO, too, I bet. You know, I mean, I've been to Boston a few times, been to Fenway a couple times. Watching that series, the weather, they had those first two games, Sammy, I was like, God dang, why didn't I make the trip up to Boston and go watch these guys just kick the hell out of the Red Sox for the first 2 days at least? I feel like we had a missed opportunity there, buddy.
Yeah, it would have been great. Would have loved to have been there. And, you know, from both the work perspective and just enjoying baseball, I've been to Fenway Park one time. It was not to see a Red Sox game, but it was actually for the Cape Cod Baseball League workout. They would do that every year for all the guys in the Cape Cod League when I worked there for two summers. And it's actually a really cool experience because there are scouts all over the Cape League all summer. And
yeah.
Around the Cape Cod League All-Star Game, they bring each team in to do a workout where they have tons and tons of scouts sitting in the stands at Fenway, and it's a really cool opportunity for those guys, not just to, you know, work out in front of every scout you could imagine, but also get an experience of being on the field at Fenway. Back in the day, I think they actually played the All-Star Game at Fenway, or maybe they do it again now. When I was there, they didn't do that. They only had the workout. But I remember the broadcast crew I was with at the time, and you know, we were all in college and just really starting out. It was my friend Kevin, my friend Susie, my friend Matt, and we went up to the Green Monster. And I actually, this weekend, I looked at that photo that we have on top of the Green Monster, and it was pretty cool. So Boston, you know, I've been to Boston a lot growing up in New York, and you know, when I was in Cape Cod, I mean, I spent two summers there, so I know that area pretty well, and I would have loved to have been there. Maybe next time.
What was that terrible Cape Cod movie that they did?
Summer Catch.
Summer
with Freddie Prinze
Catch.
Jr.
And Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel, yeah, Jessica Biel and Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah, I will say this, and I've seen that movie. It's not. I mean, it's obviously not realistic, I would say,
right?
But there were definitely aspects to it that were spot on. When you think about like classic, you know, ball players showing up in the Cape Cod League and going around from field to field. I mean, I've said this to a lot of people. I think the Cape Cod League, not to get on too of a tangent on it, but I think the Cape Cod League is like a must do baseball experience.
Yeah.
I really think that it is by far the best summer league in the country. You know, like, you don't have to pay to go to the games. People literally put their blankets and chairs down in the morning, and then they show up later and sit down. And like, they're playing at middle school fields and high school fields, and there really is sort of a mystique to it, and just sort of a love of the game feel to it. And there's tons of scouts, and it everything's within an hour. You know, you just play one game, and then that's it. And you play another game against another team the next night. It really is, I think, for a baseball fan, a must experience. I really do, because there is something really special about it. And they've had that collegiate league out there forever. You know, with some of the best players going back a long way. Playing out there and getting their names out, to go play with Wood Bats out there was originally kind of the real reason.
And
so,
Jessica Biel's cool. There, Ben. So it's a great reason to go to see Jessica Biel. Right?
Can you promise?
I can't promise
the experience.
You.
Experience? I don't think you can. We got Sammy
potential.
Sammy Levitt with us. And Woods, I just have to say, Sammy does such a great job on the pre and the post game shows, especially. He's so unflappable. I was listening on Friday night after the game to Sammy's post game show, and you know, it was a Friday, and it was Padres had won. It was a celebratory mood, and he took two or three straight calls in which the caller was less, let's just say, less than 100% sober, and you could tell
sober.
Well, you could tell when they wanted to talk about Kyle Higashioka.
Sorry. Good boy, evening.
But Sammy does such a good job. And
Higashioka. Amazing.
And I could just tell, and you know, got a couple of those in a row. But Sammy is a pro. He keeps it lively. He keeps it fun. He treats everyone with respect, no matter how many three or four cocktails in before they give him a call. And I realize we don't ever get that experience in the mornings.
No, that would be a problem. That means you have a problem.
Generally, the people who call us are stone cold sober at, you know, between 6 and 10 a.m. when we do take phone calls. But you, You have a lot of late evening programs, Sammy, so you get some different clientele as part of your show.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all good. I mean, you know, people having a good time on a Friday night after a Padre win. I mean, you know, what, especially when the team is, I would say, at home. Yeah, I mean, very often I am on the air still in the 10:30 to 11 p.m. hour, right, depending on how long the game goes. So I always say it on the post game, like, we appreciate you wherever you're listening from. If you're on the way to your Friday night plans, on the way home, maybe you're just going out. So we are always happy to hear from you no matter what you've done earlier in the night, what you're going to do. If you're going to party, that's fine. Yeah, it's all good. So it's all part of the fun, I think, of the post-game life.
Sammy, injury updates from the San Diego Padres. We saw a couple of new ones this morning. It's kind of mixed bag right now for the team. They've got some good news, and they've got some more, I don't want to say concerning, but certainly news that gives you a little bit of pause right now.
Yeah, if you guys wouldn't mind updating me, was there something new that came out this morning before I hopped on?
I mean,
the
good news is Xander Bogaerts is on track.
CT scan.
Yeah, getting a CT scan today, and if it goes well, could start a rehab assignment. Luis Camposano rehab assignment in Lake Elsinore today. In The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, right, talking to doctors, and basically we're getting the sense that the optimistic timeline of Fernando Tatis Jr. returning maybe after the All-Star break is pretty darn optimistic, and that a more realistic view is this could be closer to a two-month type injury to fully return from a stress reaction, and that we really shouldn't expect to see Fernando back anytime this month if we're being honest with ourselves.
Yeah, and I see Dennis's piece. I got to read this once I get off, so I apologize for that, for not being fully up to date on what Dennis wrote. But you know, look, obviously with Xander, with the CT scan, we heard about that on Friday in Boston. So, you know, look, it sounded like if the results from that came back favorable, like he was not all that far away from maybe going out on a rehab assignment at some point. You know, look, without reading specifically what Dennis wrote this morning, you know, I'm not super surprised, you know, if, you know, Fernando's going to be out a while. I mean, it sort of sounded that way. Now, when the injury first happened, you know, it was sort of a murky timeline, right? I mean, I felt like there was really no timeline put on it, but then you heard what Fernando said in the clubhouse later that day, and I felt like you could just kind of feel it and see it, that this was going to be something that was long-term. I will say, you know, I don't know if I expected, you know, 2 months or something like that. But look, the bottom line is this. They're going to have to continue to figure out how to stay afloat. And I think, you know, in an overall sense, you know, no matter how long Bogaerts takes to come back or if Fernando's going to be out a really, really extended period of time, to me, what they need to avoid is just sort of, you know, sort of going down one of those real downward spirals, right, that we've seen. Okay, because I actually, before I came on with you guys, I wasn't reading Dennis's article, but I was just jotting down what they've done since May 26th. And it really, I think, says something, because they won 5 of 6, then they lost 5 in a row. Then they won 5 of 6, then they lost 5 in a row. And then they won 9 of 11 to finish the month of June. And I think it just makes the point of, you know, look, they are going to have to continue to win the way they've won through these injuries, and that's playing team baseball and getting contributions all over the place. But the one thing they just can't really afford to do, no matter how many off days they have, no matter some of the really good opponents they have coming up in July, one thing they just, you know, have to avoid is letting yesterday's loss turn into losing a bunch in a row.
Yeah,
because
four more.
We've seen that, right?
Right.
Like I yesterday, I kept thinking about that Sunday game in Kansas City. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but that was like a stretch where the Padres had played really well, not for as long as they have this time around, but somehow, some way, that sort of surprisingly went into losing 5 in a row and totally changing how you felt about what they were doing. So, You know, guys, I think maybe you're looking at a situation with this team where, look, if they end up playing at some sort of level like they've played the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that's awesome. But at bare minimum, you're just hoping they can stay afloat, stay right in the mix of that wild card race, and hopefully when they get these guys back are right there, and it's like you're getting trade deadline acquisitions, essentially. And again, I got to read what Dennis wrote this morning on Fernando, but I'm not super surprised just based on his reaction later that night when it came out that he was going on the IL, and this was not a little thing. This was something that was gonna take some time.
I don't think the message has changed really at all from us. You got to hang around. You know, that's it. Just hang around. And if you play 500 baseball through the month of July, which again, you're going to have a ton of off days, but the schedule is pretty difficult with some really difficult teams. You've played well against tough teams, so far this season. That can't change, certainly. And you do need to try to handle up on the teams that may be struggling a little bit. That would be a nice change of pace for the San Diego Padres. But really at the end of the day, man, get through July. You should be able to get a little healthier with many, many off days in there, Sammy. But really, hang around till the end of July. Reevaluate. I mean, I just don't think anything's changed. I love the 9 out of 10. Certainly, it's not something I'm expecting more of. With more guys going down and more guys, you know, getting drilled in the arm with, you know, 100 mile an hour base hits up the middle. You just have to hang around because the NL is really nothing to write home about. But don't be that team that just goes off the cliff.
Yeah.
That we've seen. We've seen that here in San Diego. So I understand why people are on edge about it a little bit. But, man, watching this team play, watching what they're capable of has been awesome. It's awesome. I hope that continues. And if you lose a few here and there, you just got to staunch the bleeding. You can't have those five gamers anymore. Those have killed us.
Right. Because I don't know, you know, it's a good point. Like, again, I just think they need to find a way to avoid losing streaks, right?
Yep.
To avoid the kind of stretches that we saw earlier this year. Now, look, that may be easier said than done, because I think this team, especially in the last, you know, 10, 11 games, look, they've played great, and it's because they're getting contributions all over, whether it's Higgy, whether it's Jackson Merrill, whether it's, you know, just, you know, even the bullpen this weekend was really good.
Yep.
And I know they were dealing with big leads, but that was, I guess, somewhat encouraging that the bullpen was better. And obviously Manny heating up the way he has, that goes an enormously long way. But, yeah, when you zoom out and you look at the picture, like, yeah, I mean, Yu Darvish is out, and there's not a ton of information on when he's going to come back. Joe Musgrove, we know it's going to be at least a while for him. And then, you know, now the situation with Fernando maybe being lengthier than what you originally anticipated. And Xander is still a ways away. It's going to be at least, I would imagine, a couple of weeks based on what the results are today of that scan. So, yeah, it's they're in a really interesting spot, guys, right? Like they are playing well, and they're more than staying afloat right now. And then you've got the trade deadline looming, and how do they add, and what do they want to add, and what would they be willing to trade? Like, and then in the context of this really wide open NL. So, it's an interesting spot. And, you know, look, you hope those guys, whether it's you or Joe or Fernando or Xander, yeah. I mean, you want those guys back as quick as humanly possible, but, you know, that help is obviously, just even on Xander's front, still appears to be a bit of a ways away.
Well, first up in July is a three-game series against the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers, who had lost six in a row before yesterday, and then they won yesterday. But one matchup, I mean, not that they're head-to-head, but the two rookies, Wyatt Langford, who has been playing really well, including a cycle yesterday,
it was
the
amazing.
First in baseball this
it.
Season.
Incredible.
Yesterday against Jackson Merrill, who's probably at least in consideration for, you know, National League Player of the Week or even Player of the Month with the kind of month that he put together. Going to be some rookie people looking at rookies this week when the Padres take on the Rangers.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Wyatt Langford, he played better. He did not get off to a great start, you know, unlike Jackson Merrill, who kind of hit the ground running at the start of the year. But, you know, just on Merrill, man, I think we talked about him last week, but it just continues to be remarkably impressive. And the way this guy rises to the moment and to do what he did at Fenway, and his mom sitting out in center field, and he nearly hits a home run right into her lap in center. I mean, it's remarkable. And I actually, not that I, you know, I'm not a betting guy, but I did want to go look up at one of the major sports books just like, what are the odds, right, for Merrill and Rookie of the Year right now? And I think when I looked over the weekend, he had the second best odds to win Rookie of the Year of the NL. And, you know, right now, I know Imanaga had been really, really good, and Yamamoto had been really, really, really good, you know, and now is injured. But, like, if you just want to look at him, Merrill, in schemes, you know, look, you may be ultimately looking at a two-man race there. And what I'll be curious about is, A, does Paul Skeens, you know, keep up the pace he's at, and he's been terrific. You know, how many innings is he going to throw? Is that going to be enough to win a Rookie of the Year? We're going to find out. But I said this to somebody on the phones over the weekend. Like, I think, you know, we all would love to see him do something like that and win that kind of award. But regardless of that, just on Jackson, he is certainly having a Rookie of the Year caliber season. So, you know, well, whether he ends up winning the hardware or not, you know, I guess really isn't the point. But, man, he's got something about him. And, again, I think I said it to you last week that, you know, we all showed up at spring training, and it was clear he was going to get an opportunity. And I think a credit to the Padres. They were right. He was ready. And I think he's certainly, you know, even exceeded the expectations we could have had to this point.
Well, Sammy, enjoy the day off here, and then we'll catch you tomorrow. We got, I believe, a 4:05 EcoWater SoCal pregame show, 5:05 first pitch against the Texas Rangers in the series opener. We'll hear from you then.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have you heard? I think I'm doing 6 to 10 on Friday.
Oh, are you filling in for us?
You got to cover our ass?
I did not know that.
I thought the whole station was off.
I thought everyone was off. No,
I believe, unless something has changed during Adam's traveling, I somehow have been.
I'm so sorry. Jeez, now I feel bad for taking the day off.
And there's a game that night.
And then you've got a game that night against Arizona at home.
I did not know that.
We'll talk to Adam.
We'll talk to the.
It's okay. No. I kind of volunteered.
Of course,
I kind of volunteered.
He's probably calling a minor league game tonight somewhere. It's crazy. He works all the time.
I'll talk NBA. I'm going to have fun. I think I'm going to try not to talk baseball from 6 to 10.
All right. Actually, you're not allowed. Just so you know,
Sammy.
We do have rules.
There are rules here.
This Friday morning from 6 to 10, filling in for Ben and Woods and Paul.
I feel like such a heel right now. Just a big, fat heel.
I thought everybody was off.
That's what they told us.
It's supposed to be a 40
Adam.
Weekend, right? We'll come back. Paulie's got the Rindle Report, final hour of Ben and Woods.
How are we the jerks now?
I know. Next on 97.3 The Fan.
It's unbelievable.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.